Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
the Gospel of Matthew,
chapter 9. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." and they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the rulers of the demons." Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
Don't ask me to explain for you how one could start again, how hardened hearts could soften like a child. Don't ask me how to reason out the mysteries of life, or how to face its problems with a smile. Go ask the man who's found a way through tangled roads back home to stay, when all communications were destroyed. Go ask the child who's walking now, who once was crippled, then somehow her useless legs were made to jump for joy. Go ask the one whose burned out mind has been restored. I think you'll find the questions not important as before. Don't ask me if he's good or bad, I only know the guilt I've had is gone, and I can't tell you anymore.
Lesson number 9, Power of Jesus, Part 2. In our last lesson, we learned about the power of Jesus in Matthew 8, and today we shall continue to learn about the power of Jesus in Matthew 9. While we review the stories of Jesus' power, we will see that the gospel accounts are jammed full of marvelous stories about the miracles and teachings of Jesus. Though we can just go over these stories quickly, it is well worth your time to carefully think about all these things that Jesus did, as it will give you not only a view of God's power in Jesus, but also of the heart of God. The first story is of the paralytic man that was brought to Jesus. Jesus recognized the faith of those who brought the man and told him his sins were forgiven. This created a reaction from the Pharisees, for they knew that only God has the right to forgive sins, and because they did not recognize that Jesus was God, they thought he was blaspheming. Jesus proved his power and authority to forgive sins by healing the man in front of them all, thus proving that he was God. When Jesus called Matthew, a tax collector, to be one of his followers, he then joined some tax collectors and sinners for a dinner. And again the Pharisees were upset, for they thought, "How can this man eat with sinners?" Jesus then told them, "The sick need a physician, not those who are well," and said they should go and learn that God desires mercy above sacrifice.
Here we get a glimpse into the heart of God, for though God is righteous and hates sin, he is also merciful to sinners and willing to forgive them. When some others asked Jesus why his disciples did not fast as others did, he had to explain that while he was present with his disciples, they would rejoice, but when he was gone from them, they would be sad and then fast. Jesus used some illustrations to teach about his new kingdom in comparison with the old ways of the Jewish law. His kingdom was different than all the rules and regulations that were required by the Jewish law. In his kingdom, men would perform their righteous deeds out of love and joy before God, and not out of a mandatory obligation to dead religion. These two different things could not be mixed. Jesus' teaching and kingdom liberated people from the bondage of the law. If a person tried to mix Jesus' message of grace with the Old Testament law, it would be like a new cloth sewn onto old garments, which would create an even bigger hole in the garment. He also said it would be like putting new wine into old wineskin. When this happens, the new wine would ferment, increasing the gas in the skin and cause the older skin to burst. New wine required new wineskins. What Jesus was saying is that in his kingdom, there has to be an entirely fresh start. It would not be mixed with the religious ritualism of Judaism, as that would make it a legalistic system of rules, which men can never keep, no matter how hard they might try. But rather, it would be a system of grace, whereby sinners could be healed and freely forgiven and walk in loving obedience to the ways of God. Jesus healed a woman with a bleeding disorder while on the way to bring back a young girl who had died. Though he was on an important mission of mercy, he still found time to help this desperate woman and heal her. This also shows the kindness of the Lord to share his power and his time with those who need it, even though he has other concerns to attend to also. Is it not wonderful to know that Jesus always has time for us? Jesus heals two blind men and then tells them not to let anyone know about it, but they go about telling everyone about it. They should have listened and obeyed Jesus, but we understand why they could not keep quiet. They had just had such a great thing done for them, a mighty miracle. They could not be quiet. This is what it should be like for those whom the Lord has saved and opened their eyes to his wonderful love and salvation. All who know his gracious healing hand should want to make the gospel known. When Jesus cast out a demon from a man that was mute and gave him back his speech, the Pharisees said he was casting out demons through the power of Satan. This was a rather silly thing to say, for why would Satan tear down his own kingdom? It is clear that the Pharisees were envious of Jesus because he had such power and because the people came flocking to him for his help. They did not enjoy taking a second place to Jesus, so they tried to resist him and speak evil against him. The Pharisees picture for us what the heart of man is like. Because of man's sinful nature, he always wants to take the best place and push others down, so he can get what he wants. But Jesus is not like that at all. We read near the end of this chapter that he went about healing all sicknesses and diseases wherever he went, and preaching to them the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus wanted people to receive God's blessing and to be a part of his eternal kingdom. His mission was not only to heal people, but to preach about God's salvation and forgiveness. When Jesus looked on the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them and saw them as sheep who had no shepherd. He wanted to be their shepherd and be their helper. The message of God's love and grace needs to be spread to the great masses of people in the world, and so Jesus asks us to pray that God would send forth more workers into his harvest. Those who follow Jesus will adopt his compassion for lost mankind, and will desire to labor in his field, to see many enter into his glorious and eternal kingdom. I hope you are one of his followers, and if not, why not become his follower today by placing your trust in him, asking him to forgive you of your sins. We end our lesson with this quotation. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." Matthew chapter 9, verse 2.
And don't ask for me to prove to you why I know God is there, or how I know that he would care for you. Don't ask me why someone so great would choose to walk with you, trade my broken life for one that's new. Go ask the child who's got a dad to love away the hurt he had before this man called Jesus touched their lives. Go ask the one whose fears have fled, whose churning heart was quieted when someone whispered peace to all their strife. Go ask the man to tell you more, whose life was just a raging war inside himself until the Savior came. I don't pretend to be so wise, I only know he touched my eyes, and nothing else will ever be the same. I don't pretend to be so wise, I only know he touched my eyes, and nothing else will ever be the same. The same.
And now for today's Bible question. Today we have been learning about the teachings of Jesus and his power to forgive sins. And so someone might ask the question, why would God forgive me when I am a guilty sinner? Some people think God forgives us because he is kind and willing to do so, but that is not entirely the whole story. God cannot forgive even one of your sins unless there has been an adequate payment made for the sin. God is holy and just, and would never allow anyone to get away with evil. All sin must be judged and punished. God is only able to forgive your sin if you have paid for it, or someone else pays for it on your behalf. The trouble is that you and I can never make a payment to God for our sins that would satisfy him. Our debt is just far too big. Some people try to pay God back by doing good works, thinking that God will think of them as being good and thus forgive and accept them, even though they have sinned. This is a terrible lie of the devil, and unfortunately, many people who think they are Christians and on their way to heaven have fallen into this terrible lie. There is absolutely nothing you or I can do to pay even the slightest amount toward our debt of sin. God will only accept the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross as payment for sins. Jesus was judged and punished in our place, and his judgment was sufficient enough to pay for all your sins and for all the sins of mankind. God is so pleased with the payment of his Son that all he asks us to do is believe in him and accept his sacrifice for payment of our sin. Therefore, we should understand that those who are not believers can only ask God to forgive their sins if they are willing to accept Jesus' sacrifice for them, and thus make him their Lord. If they are unwilling to place their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, then they cannot find forgiveness for their sins, and they will most certainly meet God's judgment one day. All those who have accepted Jesus by faith and have applied his payment to their account have been judicially forgiven for all their sins, past, present, and future. Now, if the believer still commits some sin, he can confess his sin and be forgiven, not on the basis of salvation, but on the basis of fellowship. What this means is that the Christian who sins does not lose his salvation, but he loses his fellowship with God, or his enjoyment of his salvation. Once a person has been saved, that is, forgiven by God through Christ, God will never take back the free gift of eternal life. Otherwise, it could not be said to be free. The Bible teaches us that salvation is the free gift of God to all those who place their trust in Jesus. Yes, we all sin, and thank God that he has provided a way for us to be forgiven through the judgment that was placed upon Jesus Christ our Lord. We did not deserve God's forgiveness, but he is able to forgive because Jesus has paid our debt in full. If you are a Christian, I hope you will thank the Lord today for the free gift of God's forgiveness through Jesus. And if you are not a believer yet, then please make today the day you accept God's free gift of life through Jesus Christ and have all your sins washed away. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 23.
Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.bibleassemblychurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.